very excited about what we're going to be sharing today and all the different activities that you're going to be involved in. I thought, actually, you know what? I'm going to pray before I even open my mouth, other than what I already did. My feet are too close to my mouth. Lord Jesus, we commit this time to you. And we want to hear your words. Keep any words that might be mine off the script. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought I'd start us off this morning by giving you some visuals, other than the ones we did last night, of a bit of background as to some insights as to why I am the way I am, and that could be interesting, and why I felt led, actually, to touch on the topic of how do we engage, connect, and live and enjoy time with our Father, otherwise known as prayer. To start with, I have myself, as I grew up in Naples, Italy, as a TCK, otherwise known as a brat. No, sorry, that would be me, sorry. From ages 4 to 18, and if you look closely at my face, that will tell you quite a bit. And it was in Naples where I learned to love coffee, as you'll see that might be a theme, drive, which was really fun, I love their rules, lack thereof, bargain, and develop really deep friendships that I have even to this day. I was blessed with a loving family. Being the youngest of four and the only girl might explain quite a bit. And we enjoyed serving the Lord together as a family and as individuals. And then I have my husband, Jerry, and myself after 31 years. And again, you look closely and that'll tell you quite a bit about our relationship. I married really well. He's the oldest of his family, so guess who gets to be spoiled? We have an amazingly fun time, and he is of tremendous support to me. We returned After we ended up returning stateside, I returned stateside after college and got married to Jerry twice in 1 week. And that's a story for another time. My junior year in college. We then moved to Madrid, Spain, where we served with World Venture as church planters and leadership development. And we had two of our three kids there. Over the course of these years, my previous commitment to teach what I do morphed into praying that he would help me do and be what I read in Scripture. So not just knowing something, but actually living it and sharing that with them. We returned stateside 14 years ago, largely due to some auditory processing difficulties of my youngest. Now, our exit from Spain home took about 5 years. And I have to tell you that community and prayer was such a huge aspect of that exit. My kids were 13, 11, and 7 when we moved back to the States. Anybody have junior hires? I had elementary, junior high, and high school. My kids now are young adults. I have William and Corey, who are married, and William is presently deployed in Afghanistan, has a little bit less than 60 days before he comes back home, and they live in Colorado Springs. And then I have two others, Natalia and Michael. Natalia is an ER nurse in Colorado Springs, and Michael is in Denver with us working decorative concrete. I attended a Thrive retreat right when we came off the field. Oops, that's my family and my dogs. Yes, sorry. It's indicative of the way we live life. When I attended the retreat, I was in the throes of transition. Any way, shape, or form you want to look at it, transition was the name of the game. And it was a couple of years after that I began to travel with Thrive and engage with missions worldwide and women worldwide and not just Europe. And God has done some amazing things in opening up my heart. My desire to pray deeply for global women just went off the Richter scale. And being able to engage with the Word of God in prayer was a scenario where it was the best deal ever. Because I knew, in being honest with the Word and prayer, not just using the phrase and pulling out a verse, but engaging with it, we were able to engage with heart-level issues. That maybe you couldn't see the answers immediately, but at some point in time, those answers are in the process of being answered. 10 years ago, I had the privilege of going snorkeling. It was only my second opportunity to do so, and we were returning from a Thrive retreat in Papua New Guinea, and we went to Cairns, Australia. And once we got in the water, oh my word, there is a whole nother world under the ocean that I was clueless of. And the more I floated along, and I had another volunteer with me, and the less agitated I became, the more I observed. The brilliant colors, the textures, I'm not going down there because I just saw the eel. Not doing that. You know, one of those. My desire is that I want to invite you to, we don't have an ocean here, to go snorkeling. But sit under a tree. Just be still. Listen. Touch whatever's around you. Take in a deep breath. See what you smell. Take some of the chocolate or fruit with you and taste. Slow down with a word, perhaps, that he'll give you from Scripture, a phrase, a prayer request that I know as I start sharing with you and we get into Paul's prayers, I say, I heard that. I've taught that. I know so much more about that than Debbie. But slow down. And let him engage. So to start off with, I'm going to read some passages, and the PowerPoints may or may not go with me on this. And I'm being deliberate in reading a version that you may not have heard of before. It's new. It's called The Passion. And I'm going to start, just listen, as if this were a letter written to you. Dear friends, my name is Paul, and I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus, the Messiah. I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus, the Anointed One. May God Himself, the Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you. And impart total well-being into your lives. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the wisdom, spirit of wisdom, and the spirit of revelation, to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination and understanding, flooding it with light, until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, and that is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. My prayer for you is that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. And then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. And I pray that he would pour out over you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. And then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep within, inside of you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. And then, as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences: the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all of its dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love, how enduring and inclusive it is, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Now, as we begin to interact with Paul, it's interesting to see that actually we as global workers have quite a lot in common with him. He was one too. You know, he had a passion to share Christ with all people, Jews and Gentiles. He wanted to see the church grow. He had a desire to see those that he served minister using all of their gifts. He experienced danger, threats, probably had PTSD undiagnosed, dealt with disappointment. Oh yeah, and he had some really interesting creative ways of interacting with possibly problematic scenarios with his colleagues. Imagine that. He was shipwrecked. Some of you are on islands serving and perhaps have been on boats that might have capsized or had that danger. Others of you, even on the way up here, your cars got shipwrecked, right? Okay, breaking down. How about the experience of being emotionally shipwrecked? Yeah. He tangled with local authorities, and he had to move his location of his teaching, in our scenarios, perhaps because of visas. He was persecuted. He didn't have much material wealth. Well, not much has changed with missionaries today, is it? Oh, and I love this. I love this. I don't know who this commentary dude was, but he said he lacked a sense of fashion. Kind of like my husband did. Well, that took about 3 months of me gently changing that up. Paul worked on the behalf of the weak. Many of you do too. That they wouldn't be exploited. He traveled extensively. miles and miles and miles, kind of like driving through Wyoming, and on and on and on. And he didn't even have Dramamine or Ambien. Ask me about that later. He visited approximately 50 cities, and he eventually got to Naples and Rome, where he had the best food and the best coffee around. That's my pre-commentary. He's writing to the elders and churches in Ephesus, which is modern-day Turkey. He'd actually spent 3 years there with the believers while he was preaching in different parts of the city. It's one of the longest places that he was at. And so he had an emotional, physical, and spiritual investment with the people that he was working with. And I know that because in Acts 20, 36 to 38, he says, Paul was on his knees and he prayed when he was going to be leaving there. And then a river of tears, clinging and not wanting to let him go. They knew they wouldn't see him again. The pain, oh my gosh, cut deep. And then bravely they let him go. Now, I have not served in the Middle East, but we did in Madrid. And I tell you, our leaving was gut-wrenching. It was the right thing to do, absolutely. But we planned and orchestrated our own memorial service, and were there to be a part of it. Definitely bittersweet. Tears flowed. Oh my gosh, did they ever. So the point is that Paul is connected to his writers here. And then the letter is unique in that it is not one of rebuke or correction. Rather, it's more of encouragement to continue to live out what you believe. Continue to put that experience with what you know and believe and teach. Our basis of dealing with prayer we find in the book of Ephesians as well. In Ephesians 3:12, it says, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. I don't know about you. I get the Christ part. I rely on the Christ part. I have a phenomenal relationship with my dad. I even get the come boldly and confidently. I don't exactly lack in the confidence arena. That little phrase in the middle, as a pragmatist, remember I want us to be brutally honest, and my faith, the condition of my faith, the strength of my faith, is not always where I would like it to be. In fact, it's never where I'd like it to be. But there's hope even in that. We can join the Father in Matthew 9:24 of the epileptic son who said, Jesus, I do believe, but dang it, this is my son. He's hurting. Help me overcome my belief. And then we know that the Holy Spirit groans on our behalf, right? Intercedes with us. And I love the fact that he doesn't even have words. It, raw emotion is fine. God is fine with that. He invites us to come into his presence as we really, really are. When we start with Ephesians 1, verse 2, this is kind of a frame to his letter, to anything that he's going to say before he even opens his mouth to the people that he loves. And he says what? May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you a deep sense of condemnation and confusion. Yeah, No. No. But sometimes that's what I give myself. That's where I'm living from. He says, ladies, he wants to give us grace and peace. Especially when we start touching on any of the spiritual disciplines, such as prayer. Inevitably, I say, shoot, man, I know I don't pray enough. I know I should. I need to be better. I said, shush. Take in a deep breath. Grace and peace. Before he gives them any other instructions. Grace and peace. Now it's interesting, in Isaiah 30:16 is another verse that we're very familiar with. It says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But, you would have none of it. We're not as familiar with that little tag. We read that again. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness under the tree. And trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. And in fact, they not only would have none of it, what the following verses are talking about, but they get on their horses and we're fleeing. We are going to run away. And that fleeing can look so many different ways. Busyness, mental gymnastics. And in those next verses, it talks about fleeing three times. And then what's God's response? In verse 18, Isaiah 30:18, he says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show your compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Grace and peace. Are we willing to stop running? Whatever that running looks like, and say, yes, I am willing to receive your grace and your peace. Grace is an idea of joy and thankfulness for something you didn't deserve. Kind of like a warning of a parking ticket. No, speeding ticket is more like it. But the stakes are so, so, so much more. But it's when you know doggone well, you do not deserve. Not only to get off the hook, but to be given a blessing. You blew it. I know that. And I want to offer to you blessing and acceptance. I don't want you to live with a sense of condemnation, self-condemnation, or that from other people. I want you to receive peace. Synonyms to peace: quietness, tranquility, calm. Instead of indifference, yeah. Apathy, yeah. Conflict, anguish, distressed, restrained anxiety, fear, confusion. Those are all opposite words of peace. And so what I would like for you to do is when you come across a word that you've heard a million times, and okay, so you know, you can break it down. Break it down in light of your reality. What does grace feel like to me today? What does his acceptance feel like to me today? His blessing. And can I say, I am sorry. You're wanting to give me this amazing gift. And my response to it is, no, I'm not good enough. No, I blew it again. I haven't talked to you for what? Week? Month? Few months? And he says, grace and peace to you. Can we invite him to expand your boundaries of who God is? Oftentimes when I'm singing a worship song and I'm saying, you know, I'll never understand the price that you paid for me. You know, I stand in awe or kneel in awe and wonder of who you are. And I am not all that engaged. I'm going, wait a minute. What I know of God cannot be all that he is. He's got to be more. Because if we understood who God is, he wouldn't be God. Who do we think we are anyway? And so how much more is there to who he is and who he wants to offer to us than what we realize? And what is amazing is that Paul begins to pray exactly for that thing. He says in Ephesians 1:17, he says, I keep asking. So it's not just a one-time thing. He's not assuming that just because you believe in Christ and you become a child of the Father that you understand who God is. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. When he's talking about knowing God better here, he's talking, his heart is, I don't want you. He didn't say, I pray that you would know more about God. He says, I am praying that you would know him better. And that know is, I pray that you will engage, you will connect, okay? You will relate, you will be aware, you will fall in love with, you will learn more things about me. And that's all fine and good, ladies. But there are so many stinking distractions. We carry around such a boatload of baggage, of whatever. And he says, I know that. But I have given you the Holy Spirit in you. And you can ask him to do what? To give you a spirit of wisdom. Okay, I could use wisdom. Wisdom in how, this is curious, wisdom in how to relate with others and with God. Doggone it, do we have to have the others involved? Yeah, me and God, we get along pretty well. Shoot. As I relate with others, I will know and have insight given to me by the Spirit of God of how to relate better with God. You cannot separate one from the other. And we can ask the Spirit of God to pour over us, help me be aware and become more wise in my interactions with others and figure out how I can be a better daughter and more in relationship with God. And then he continues and he says, and would you give me a spirit of revelation? Again, the Holy Spirit, he's within us. Ask him to show you, to reveal to you who God is. Now get this. That word revelation is talking about a deep, personal, intimate insight, unfolding deep things of God. He wants to be known. He wants us to ask him that the Spirit would help us understand crazy things, deep things, intimate things, personal things. Not necessarily has to be theological as far as brainy things. He's talking emotive words here, ladies. And it's what the Spirit of God wants to reveal to us through wisdom and revelation so that we would know him better. Bottom line here is that God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit has done everything he can and continues to do everything he can to show us his love for us. In chapter 1, the verses 3 to 14, Paul enumerates all the spiritual blessings we have been given. Okay? So here's our theological list. The expressions are of love. And in my opinion, they're all over-the-top expressions of love. Or deeply intimate, vulnerable expressions of love. He says that we are the focus of his love. We are the one who matters to him. We are the one he sees and calls by name. We're adopted. Those of you that have adopted children, you had choices. You did so with prayer and anguish and money and emotion, and you're still in that. And he adopted us. He had the pleasure of planning that. He loves to give us lavish gifts, a lot like Thrive, over the top. He says that we're free of all our misdeeds. He's provided everything. He has his eye on us. He has his designs for us. We are signed and sealed and given an engagement ring with the promise of being face to face with him. And I think that we've probably heard all of this before, and we even believe it to one extent, to another, we've experienced it. And I'd like to share with you an aha moment that I had with our Heavenly Father. My oldest son, William, was dating his now wife. And he told us by phone over the summer that he was working in Texas. Mom, Dad, Corey and I are going to live together. My last year of college. You take a deep breath. You go, sweetheart, really don't think that's a good idea. Don't think. We engaged in relationship with William and Corey in a very awkward dance for a couple of years. My husband wrote one of the best heartfelt letters he could have ever written to William, sharing his heart as why he did not think that was God's best for him. And we dialogued with them, and we stayed in relationship with the two of them, and we had some very significant conversations with them. And yet, he came back from Texas with Corey, and they came to our house, and they wanted to have a face-to-face because they were going to tell us what they had decided. So they came to the house, and they told us, we're going to go ahead with it. And they drove off. I went for a walk And I was a basket case, an absolute basket case. Because it was inconceivable to me, how can William not understand that we know what's best for him? We're his parents, dang it. You know, this is Dad talking. And it was like, this is common sense. Seriously, what are you thinking? Don't you know we only want the very best for you? Don't you know that? And as I was in pain with him before the Lord, oh, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Deb, isn't it what you do to me so often? I have given you the Word of God. I have given you my Holy Spirit. I desire the very best for you. I have amazing plans for who you are and who I am delighted in who you are, but what you can develop to be. Would you trust me? Would you listen to me? Would you respond to me? It was such a sweet time. I was going, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I get that father figure a little bit more. I get that you want the very best. In the Ephesians context, where he had left them and they were going to be persecuted, they didn't know what life held for them. They were already going through people being murdered because they were followers of Christ. They weren't exactly mature believers. They were continuing to grow in their faith. And they needed to have continual encouragement. Why would I keep going? And he says, you know why? You know why? Because your God is so much bigger than what you think he is. And I am going to fight for you. I am going to pray on your behalf that you would know him in a deeper way. That you would receive my grace and my peace given to me. That they would receive Christ's grace and peace offered to them. And that by asking for the Holy Spirit to be revealed in wisdom and in revelation, they would truly grow. In what? It's open-handed. The request does not have measurements to say, oh, yeah, I know him deeper. And it's insanely unique and individual for each one of us. And it's an invitation that he gives to us. This morning we're going to conclude. I'm going to give you some time. Not a lot, because I want to whet your appetite and frustrate you a bit, because that's what I do. But the books on your tables that have the 365 promises of God, and there are other promises besides 365, but if you have been out of the United States for a while, you might not have known that there has been a coloring book explosion throughout America. And your Christian bookstores have joined. Now, I don't have an issue with it. In fact, I'm joining it. So if you would take out your books and turn to page 110. And you can grab your colored pencils out as well. Just make sure you choose the color that is yours, or I will come find you. No, it's okay. You haven't seen the color analyst yet. That's okay. What I'd like for you to do is on page 110, I would like for you to choose one of the promises on the left-hand side. And I'd like for you to read the promise. And I would ask you to ask the Spirit of God, trip me up on a word or a phrase, snag my heart on a word or a phrase. And if it's just one word, stop. It's fine. It's not an assignment that needs to be finished. But I challenge you to personalize the promise. For example, if it's the last promise, where it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, change the pronouns to yours. So, may the God of hope fill me, or fill Susanna if you want to pray for someone else. Fill me with all joy and peace as I trust in him. Now argue with it. Okay? Take this verse and put it up against your reality. May the God of hope. I'm not feeling much hope. In fact, God, you know, my stomach's churning. And I'm not sure that there's much to look forward to. But you say you're a God of hope. Okay, just stop. Camp out there. May the God of hope fill me with all joy and peace. Am I feeling particularly joyful? Peaceful? Opposite? Take that word. Play with the opposite. Play with your reality. No, I'm not saying that it's necessarily the opposite is your reality. But just turn the rock around. Swim around the area. Float. Slow down. Absorb. And if you so desire, take one of the colors and just circle it, whatever, write it, color it in. And on the design on your right-hand side is take time. As you're thinking about that word, just color in the lines or out of the lines. Or, if this is freaking you out because you don't like to color, you never did like to color, then you have a sketchbook on your table that has blank sheets. And if you're more of a writer, go ahead and journal. If you are an amazing artist and you just go, well, this picture isn't exactly what I like, have at it, ladies. Have at it. The idea is to create some space for him to speak to you. And that is my invitation to you. Choose a word. Choose a phrase. Begin to color. And I'll give you about 4 minutes and 10 seconds before we conclude. Find a tree to sit under. Allow him to speak to you. Personalize these promises. If you're not experiencing them in the reality of your life, ask him to show you how that can happen and to empower that to happen in your life. He loves us deeply, and yet he longs to be loved. He longs to be loved. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your intensely intimate love towards us. Holy Spirit, quicken in our heart a responsive love to your love. May we realize that you're not a robotic God. You're God with passionate feelings. And you long to connect with us in deep and personal ways. May we invite you to do that, even today, as we enjoy your creation and your gifts, the gifts of being with sisters. May we sense your presence and be in tune with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you have given us and will continue to give us. In Jesus' name, amen.